When you shop at Amazon.com and you're not completely satisfied, you can do returns faster than Kristen Wiig can return to SNL. Support Rob as a podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Rob Has a Podcast. And today we are talking about SNL after a night when Kristen Wiig returned to Studio 8H to host Saturday Night Live for the very first time. And I'm here with our resident SNL expert. Here he is, Mr. Rich Tackenberg.
Mr. Sesternino.
How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me back.
Yes, much like it has only been about 6 days and 23 hours, but it feels like it's been a week.
Feels like it. Yep.
Yes. So Rich is back here with us to talk about an SNL with Kristen Wiig, and I think it's going to be a polarizing episode.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I'm very interested. Before we get into sketch by sketch, I'm very interested in your overall thoughts. What was your overall takeaway on last night's episode?
I think I was disappointed.
All right, okay.
Disappointed.
Interestingly, I really liked it. That I found this was an episode where the whole was greater than the sum of the parts.
Okay.
I just really enjoyed it, even though as we go through it, I will be very critical about many things, as I always am, but overall, I really enjoyed it.
Did you lower the bar before the night started? Is that why you feel like you came away with it like, okay, that was pretty good?
Yeah, the bar was lowered last week when you and I did our list of what we thought, what sketches would return, and even just going through all those sketches, I went to myself, wow, this probably isn't going to be a great show. And you think about what's going to return and what's not, that's there's really not a lot of winners on that list. So I was appropriately expected for last night's episode.
Because I feel like the complaint that we had about Kristen Wiig during her time on SNL was everybody loved Kristen Wiig, everybody felt Kristen Wiig is extremely talented, but a lot of her characters had been really run into the ground. And so to have her return, you kind of felt like we'd see many more of these characters that we were a little sick of also return.
Yes.
We like Kristen Wiig, not necessarily all the characters, but if she's coming back, the characters are coming back too.
Exactly, exactly. Kind of more setting the stage for the next time Kristen Wiig hosts. That maybe we've done enough of the return characters with the greatest hits. Now maybe next time we can see some more new stuff.
Okay, so if you want to keep up with the SNL podcast every time there's a new episode, you could subscribe on iTunes. robhasawebsite.com/SNL podcast, and let's jump right into it. Also, we have some news at this hour that there has been a new host named for the fill the Jimmy Fallon spot that will be vacated when he takes over for Jay Leno. Seth Meyers will take that over. Just sort of put that in your pocket. We'll talk about more at the end of the show, but in case that comes up at all in this conversation, just throw that out there.
Be aware, yes.
Yes. Okay, so we open up, Rich. C-SPAN, never a good sign.
Uh-oh, trouble, trouble.
C-SPAN, and talking Benghazi stuff.
So right off the bat, the thing that was strange for me is while we know that typically on SNL, the expectation is that the host does not appear in the cold open, traditionally the opposite is true when we have an alumni. So Will Ferrell comes back, we get George W. Bush, Jimmy Fallon comes back, we get Sully and Denise. So right off the bat, I see C-SPAN, I know there's little chance Kristen Wiig's playing a political character.
Michelle Bachmann?
I would have rather that, at least something. So right off the bat, before I have anything to say about the sketch, I was disappointed not to see Wiig in the cold open. And then nothing about this sketch made me feel any better.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake was in the cold open.
Exactly.
Recently as Elton John.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it was sort of lackluster and short.
Well, it wasn't really a sketch. It was a joke. The joke was, in order to get better ratings for the Benghazi hearing, they bring in Jodi Arias. I don't even know what her name is. So that was it. That was the joke. And then they just played that joke over and over again for about 8 beats, and then it was over.
Admittedly, this may have been funnier if I knew anything about the Benghazi hearings or Jodi Arias.
You know, actually, the first time I knew all three pop culture news references, and it didn't make it any funnier. No, it really didn't help. It didn't help there. I will give them props that they that Bobby Moynihan did take on the Ariel Castro character so soon after that horrific event happened. I like they kind of had the balls to go there early on, but overall kind of lackluster.
Were you hoping that they brought in the guy from the viral video who they talked to on the news about the people that were trapped in the basement?
That would have been actually cutting edge. Yeah, we don't really have any of that.
That would have been good. That would have been good if they could have actually gotten that guy to eat ribs or with the guy. Yeah, dance to salsa music.
Exactly.
Sure. Why not? Now,
I will give props to Kenan Thompson in this sketch for actually attempting an impression. He was playing one of the representatives. I don't know whether that was a good impression or a bad impression, but to see him actually break a sweat trying to do a character was a nice return for Kenan, who usually phones it in at that point.
Yeah. So after a forgettable cold open, we get into the monologue, and here comes Kristen Wiig, and she's so excited, Rich.
Oh boy, we're going back to the well with the song and lap around the backstage circle of the SNL stage. We know it well.
Why not?
We just saw it, I guess, with Maya Rudolph last season, ironically, and then a little cameo as well.
Last season, also, I think Jimmy Fallon's monologue was also the song and a lap through backstage. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
So that seems to be the staple of the alumni returning.
Yeah, that's a good go-to for them. So,
although this was probably the least inspired song out of all those.
Also a really tough song choice, a tough song to sing while you're running around and doing comedic bits. Mm-hmm. Like, she really had to sing, as opposed to a lot of times where it's just kind of the same verse over and over again and you can kind of sort of phone it in. So I was kind of surprised by that.
So any big surprises as she was walking around the backstage area? Of course, we have Maya Rudolph shows up with Jonah Hill.
I thought that was really good. I thought that was cute that they're trying to make a baby. And then afterwards, when she's just pregnant, they say, it works.
Feel like Maya Rudolph is just pregnant at all times?
I think she may be the celebrity Octomom. I'm not sure what's going on.
How many babies does Maya Rudolph have?
Yeah. And maybe that's just her thing for if she wants to get a cameo on SNL, she needs to be pregnant. So she's having babies just for screen time.
Boom, boom, boom. I feel like when Tina Fey was last on, wasn't Maya Rudolph on and pregnant?
Yeah.
I feel like every time I see Maya Rudolph, she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if she's not pregnant, she's just having a baby or in the process of making a baby and not with Jonah Hill.
She's very busy, yeah.
She's very busy.
She's very busy.
Yeah.
So, but I liked that. I thought it was a cute cameo. I did like I like the fact that we always see the people in the background. This week we had Jesus and a camel, and then we see the showgirls in Lincoln. And I like that she stops and says, "I loved you in Lincoln." That was very cute.
Yeah.
So overall, the Kenan thing was very cute. Tasing Kenan was cute. Mm-hmm. Fred Armisen was cute, but then just throw the whole thing into halt, and you know, just like it's like they grabbed the parking brake, and we had to cut to the pre-tape of Gilly.
Yeah,
like I have nothing against Gilly, but the fact that we're throwing in a pre-tape in the middle of a musical number live opening, I thought really put the brakes on.
Mm-hmm.
And then then it was cute ending.
Yeah, so it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. It was more energetic than it was hilarious, but I thought it was a decent start to the show.
Did you like the joke that she forgot everybody's names in the year she was gone?
That was cute. I liked the joke that she didn't remember which camera was which. Horrible the fact that they actually threw in Comedy Claptrap 101. I know this place like the back of my hand, and then she looks at the back of her hand and goes, "Oh, that's weird."
Mm-hmm.
Really? That joke, I think, was made in sixth grade plays. I couldn't believe that we were going to that joke for SNL monologue.
Overall, did you feel like it was too soon for Kristen Wiig to come back?
I mean, no, I sort of get it. I mean, odd that she hasn't done anything.
That's my point, is that she left. She did not do anything, and now she's back to host the show.
But I do think that as alumni go, this is who we all wanted to see. Even though it's only been a year, I think we all wanted to see Kristen Wiig. So I say it was the right time.
But I feel like it would be nice to see somebody leave the show, go have some success outside of the show, and then come back and host the show.
Sure. No,
because otherwise it just feels like one of the cast members hosted the show.
Yes, that is how it felt, yes.
So it did not feel like we had somebody who was, you know, she did not leave SNL and then escalate her career. And in fairness, other than being on SNL, other than Bridesmaids, Kristen Wiig, I feel like, has a very short resume.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Bridesmaids is the one thing outside of SNL that she's ever done.
And she did that while on SNL, so it wasn't even done as an alumni.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So I feel like it was a little indulgent to have her back, I feel, so soon.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I'll give you that.
Okay, so we have a Mother's Day commercial for 1-800-Flowers.
I thought this was the highlight of the night. This, I think I've now watched it 4 times, and other than the fact that it kind of peters out at the end, it just made me laugh. Everything about the sketch made me laugh. I thought it was clearly sketch of the week.
Okay. What was it that you loved so much about it?
I like the fact that we got to see Kristen Wiig be the straight woman instead of the kooky character, because her reactions to her mom were great.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Kate McKinnon was very funny.
She's very good.
I thought that they didn't take it to the point where Kristen Wiig actually starts getting furious with her mom, so the tone of it was right. And the things that her mom was doing to be annoying was kind of pitch perfect. They didn't get too crazy, but when she's asking him to the waiter if there's nuts in this, and Kristen Wiig's like, there's never nuts in Eggs Benedict, and the whole everything about it, I just thought that was really funny. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I don't think I liked it as much as you did.
Okay.
I think I still like last year's Mother's Day commercial better, with the 50 Shades of Grey book from Amazon.
True.
I think I liked that one better, but that being said, it was okay.
I liked it. I liked it.
I thought Kate McKinnon was very good, very convincing as the mom.
Yes.
Also,
I thought a bad sign for Vanessa Bayer as a regular cast member that she didn't get that role.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely a Vanessa. We've seen Vanessa Bayer as the mom a bunch of times, so not a good sign that featured player Kate McKinnon got that slot. So, but Kate McKinnon was very funny.
Very good. So she's on the rise.
She can't find her debit card. Yeah, that just made me laugh.
All right, Rich. So here it comes. I wanted to text you as I was watching on the East Coast feed last night. I did not. I abstained. Here it is. The return of the Californians.
I got 3 different cryptic text messages last night, and I was so tired that I did not put it together until this morning, and I realized that's what everybody was sending me.
Yes, you are the face of the anti-Californian movement, but you are not alone.
Oh, I am not alone.
You are not alone. Many people join you. For me, I love the Californians only because of these conversations that we get to have.
Ugh.
I get added enjoyment out of it. I don't hate them. I mean, for me, I just feel like this is like old school SNL of just a sketch that just gets beaten into the ground. And so I kind of, I get nostalgic about the Californians. I feel
is
what SNL is. But okay, let's talk about this individual episode of the Californians.
Well, I was heartened by the fact that I did predict last week that we would see the Californians.
Yes.
So I did at least have that in my back pocket. I think I always complain that the Californians never evolves as a sketch. And I'd say this week they really evolved it. They got a new mirror. So that was a big step up for them. We had a different mirror that they all stared into. So it felt like a whole new sketch to me. Mm-hmm. It was like they really brought life back into it.
They lost me at the end, though, with Maya Rudolph. I really hated Maya Rudolph's Californian person.
Well, and this, let me sidetrack for a second. One of the things that so annoys me about the Californians is SNL has lost the understanding of what a good cameo is.
Mm-hmm.
A cameo of a famous person works either because of surprise or because of nostalgia. So when we see Maya Rudolph in the closet with Josh Hill, it's very funny because we're surprised. We didn't expect to see her. At that point, the only good cameos that work with either of those two people is nostalgia. So if we bring back a Maya Rudolph character, it's funny. But to have her show up again in another sketch playing a new character just felt really lame. I know they did this last season when they did the Californians. They brought in Hussein Bolt, who had already appeared in the cold open. So it was just like, I feel like they're just so off on like understanding how cameos work. So it just very self-indulgent.
Yeah, well, that was in the Bieber episode?
That sounds right, yeah.
It is funny, though, that in the Californians, there's always a one spot where there's a cameo in the sort of, you know, fill in the blank version of the Californian script, that the last person to come in is always a famous person
right.
being one of the Californians.
Yes.
But I would have rather seen Jonah Hill as the last Californian than Maya Rudolph.
That would have been more surprising. That would have been more fun. So, yeah.
Was it just me, or did you think Maya Rudolph was a terrible Californian?
You know what? I don't know. Terrible Californian is such a redundant phrase to me. So I don't know what scale to use to judge that.
I like Taron Killam's gay Californian.
Yeah, that was a nice tweet. He didn't get much.
I feel like he was in one of the other ones, too.
Was
like,
he? I didn't remember
him. The third act of the Californians is always like, there's always a lot of people in the room.
Right.
And I feel like he's been there a few times.
That would make sense. So again, of course I hate that.
Keenan always shows up in the third act of the Californians.
For no reason whatsoever. I was reading online. I know that Fred Armisen writes these sketches, him and one of the other writers. And so I guess it's just something that makes him laugh. I will admit that I did like the fact that just Kristen Wiig was just laughing and having a great time with Hader. And so at least that was cute. Kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. And they're always breaking during California.
Yes. Also, I did like, I think in weird ways, I think Vanessa Bayer's a little bit of the MVP in this, because I like when she sees who, I can't remember, when she goes, Miss Karina, and she has this really slow faint. Mm-hmm. She just sort of like slowly like drops out of the frame, and then you hear the sound effect of her falling.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cute.
So that was good. All right. So a good Californians, that's it. That is it for Californians for 2012. Do we think there's any chance, is Fred Armisen going to potentially leave the show? We talked about this last year, but I don't know.
I don't know. At this point, I think he sticks around until they ask him to leave. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's in a right nice spot where he's not trying very hard, and I think if they ask him to come back, he'll come back.
Okay. But we think, Sudeikis isn't in this, but I guess it's part of a bigger conversation.
Yes. So, much bigger conversation.
All right, so there could be more Californians in 2013/14 season.
Oh, I would expect that, yeah.
Okay.
Also, a little pet peeve, you can't take Barrington directly to the 10. So little Google Map goof on the Californians part. If you're going to at least do it right. Come on, guys. Come on.
And can you drive a car off the Santa Monica Pier?
If you're driving fast enough, you can, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And poor Neve Campbell, I wonder whatever happened to her car.
She's
her
stranded.
Town car,
yeah.
That was waiting to pick her up. All right, how about this All Nuts Mom's a Ghost?
I really like this. Again, I think this is polarizing. I could see a lot of people going, really a ring joke in 2013, but I just thought that the combination of the Disney Channel show, which was, I thought, very well done, and the ghost, I thought was very funny, so I really liked it.
Yeah, I think it was executed well, but I just felt like, am I not getting the joke? I just felt like, did they make a new Ring movie?
No.
Why are we doing The Ring?
No reason why we're, and I don't know enough about horror movies to know if that is a archetype character, like the chainsaw murderer character or something, or if that character is specifically to The Ring. I don't know, but the timing on it was definitely odd, but I still thought it was very funny.
Yeah. So I thought that it was great to see Bobby Moynihan and Cicely Strong. They were very funny, I just didn't get the concept.
Yeah, well, I can see that. It was an odd timing on it. And I will agree that I thought Bobby Moynihan, especially Cicely Strong, were actually stronger, no pun intended, than Kristen Wiig. I thought she did a great job.
Yeah, Bobby Moynihan and Cicely Strong are like the new Will Ferrell and Sherry O'Terry together.
They're becoming the power couple. Yes. I like that. Yeah.
They're good for them.
Another moment of Taron Killam being in a sketch with basically no lines.
Yeah,
odd night for him.
He's had a slow couple of weeks here.
Yes.
I mean, I felt like coming into this season in the first half, we said, this is his time. He's about to break out. But I feel like he has not had much to do at all, especially in the last couple months.
Yes, totally agree. So
what's going on? Why is he in a slump?
I don't know if it's because other people getting screen time, or is he just not writing the hits anymore? I don't know.
So we have then, it's the Lawrence Welk show.
I believe that you predicted they would do this, and I was predicting that they would not.
Yeah, no, I actually had no. Let's go. We'll go through the, here were the predictions from last week, what we said. We said Lawrence Welk, we both said no, according to what I had.
We're both wrong.
Target Lady, Rich said yes, Rob said no, so you get a point there. Gilly, we both said no, but you were hoping for a real Gilly sketch.
Yes.
But we did not get that. Penelope, Rich said yes. Rob said no. So you're wrong.
Right.
So
you got that one.
Secret word. Rich said no. Rob said yes. The Shauna, who's that?
She's like the sexy woman that's really disgusting.
We both said no. And Garth and Kat, you said yes. So you had your finger on the pulse than I did. I guess I didn't think that they were going to do too many recurring sketches.
Right.
But I was dead wrong about that. See, that's why I had higher expectations. So here comes Lawrence Welk.
Oh, boy. I don't know what you say about this. It's the same sketch every time. I don't even think anyone is even grossed out by her with the baby doll hands anymore. Now it's just sort of a thing. Yeah. So odd to see Jason Sudeikis in the role of the handsome male singer. That's very odd. But other than that, I could have fast-forwarded through it. It's kind of just more of the same.
Do you read anything into Sudeikis getting that spot?
I did wonder because, again, we're starting to get into the, like, I was watching the episode with the Is Sudeikis Leaving in two episodes, and up to this point, I'm like, boy, he's just not getting any screen time, which is odd for a seasoned player who's leaving. So I did sort of note that as, I wonder. But then again, the other side is, if you're not going to have a cameo, who else would have done it? You know, was it Hader? That's going to feel too creepy. So he's probably by default probably the person. So good question.
Okay. So, I mean, anything of note here with Lawrence Welk's show? I mean, she also did the character. I don't know what we call that character.
Jolene, I think it is.
She did her in one of the cult. Was it the Martin Short episode where she was in another alumni backstage sort of tour? In Martin Short's monologue, she was backstage with the tiny hand.
Yes. And they did it in the season finale of her last episode.
Yes.
So really milking that character, yeah.
right. So she must love it because there's no other reason. I mean, it's not – I don't find it to be super hilarious, but maybe the casual fan of SNL really likes it.
Yeah, and it felt a lot like this was just about sketches that make Kristen Wiig laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe it just fell into that trap, maybe.
Yeah. All right, so Vampire Weekend, Rich.
I do like the Vampire Weekend, and I don't know. I listened to both songs. I'm making an effort. I got the download from Mark NYC, gave me his expert music opinion on this.
Okay.
I felt like this was like Vampire Weekend with some of the douchiness squeezed out so that they were a little bit less douchey than they usually are. Very pop, catchy song. I hadn't heard it before, but I liked it. I thought it was a fun, my buddy say? Mark called it a rockabilly surf song that also has the big energy of an Elvis Costello rave up and weird pitch shifting and electronics of Radiohead. I love it.
Wow, that's one hell of a review.
He's a music guy.
That's a 5-star review on Amazon. I would check off, was this review helpful to you? I would check yes.
My review was, why was that guy's guitar so big? That freaked me out. He had like a really big guitar. It's like forced perspective or something. It was kooky.
I really like listened to about 15, 20 seconds. I don't know this song. I never heard this song before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I liked it. I thought it was a fun, fun whatever. And then weird, another week where we have a weird guy in the back dressed in like a tuxedo and top hat.
Uh-oh.
With that big bass sax, whatever that thing is.
A bass sax?
A big bass sax. Like it almost looked like someone you would see backstage of SNL while a cast member is doing the backstage tour. Nope, actually a session player for Vampire.
What is a bass sax? It's like a giant saxophone?
One of those big giant saxophones with that brrrr kind of sound to it.
Okay.
So. Baby, we're out of time. That's there you go.
All right, so in weekend update.
Yeah, okay.
We got Benghazi jokes for you. We got lots of some visitors.
Yes.
Take your pick.
So I thought this was a weird week that I thought, and again, to this we'll get to the second guest in a second, but I thought our correspondents were kind of a dud, but I thought Seth Meyers actually had in the middle a run of really good jokes.
What were some of your favorite standout jokes?
I transcribed a few because, and I have no sense of delivery that he did, but one of the early ones, he said, in an effort to appeal to women, the NRA is highlighting a number of products for women's self-defense, including purses with hidden in handgun pockets. Because if there's one thing women are good at, it's quickly retrieving something from their purse.
There you go.
Made me laugh. Another one I liked is he said, a 7-year-old boy in Virginia was suspended from school after he pointed his pencil at a fellow student and said, bang. Even worse is when he pointed at another student and said, would not bang. Like that.
Yeah, and then he mouthed it a few other
times. Yes, he did it a couple. That was very funny. I liked when he said, a new survey shows that the number of children that is most stressful for a mother to have is 3, especially if you had 4 when you left the house.
Okay, you're looking at the new host of Late Night.
This is, he's doing a monologue right here. He's opening,
Seth is on fire.
Yeah, so he had a couple of good ones. It was a good run there. Yeah.
Okay, but to interrupt all the fun,
we had
Anthony Crispino, who sits at number 5 in our update power rankings.
Yes, yes. Although, as the commenters point out every week, we keep calling him Bobby Crispino in our power rankings. Oh, so we are amending to be accurate.
Well, yes. In keeping with the theme of Anthony Crispino, this is the secondhand.
Exactly.
You hear about this? You hear about this guy?
Yeah.
You hear about this?
Yeah.
So he's back, and whereas the last time he was on, I thought he was very good.
Yeah.
This felt a little flat.
Yeah. This felt like they were trying a different formula where they're trying to like set it up and then pay it off with the thing that was the secondhand report. And it was just like a weird timing. And yeah, it just kind of lost me. And then ultimately, we just spent a lot of time doing the high pitched, getting higher and higher.
See, I think it was funny the last time they did it because, like, I don't know if that was necessarily part of the joke last time that he
right.
could get. His voice kept getting higher when he would do it, and they sort of like had that banter about it. But then they really, you know, they took it to the next level.
Yes.
And it became a little forced, I think.
Yes, I agree. So on the power rankings, he's clearly not moving up. I don't know if he falls off. I don't know who would replace him, but I not a good outing for Anthony Crispino.
Yeah, I saw we were taking a bit of heat on the comments about our power rankings of just because how are we only doing the power rankings to 5? Let me see if I can find the comment because just like my Mets, who are not very good when they're still ranked in the power rankings, but I would argue to that point of that there are only a certain number. There's only 30. Major League Baseball teams, you have to rank them. It would be very difficult for us to have a list of every potential character for Weekend Update and have a current ranking of all of them.
I think we also got knocked in the comments, which I appreciated, but that we were being very subjective about the power rankings. We were not being very objective, which I thought, well, of course, that's the whole point of this is to be subjective. And I like that people disagree with us.
Yes. And this is Mark in NYC did not thinks that the Weekend power rankings. How are we saying that? How can we say that somebody doesn't belong in the power rankings discussion?
Right.
So I guess that's we just have a top 5.
Yes.
Top 5 and then there's the field.
Yeah. This isn't about frequency. That's we can let the statisticians determine frequency. This is about who we think is bringing the juice every week.
Yeah.
And this week, Anthony Crispino did not bring the juice.
Do we want to bounce him out of the top 5?
I don't know who you replace him with at this point. We're in kind of a fallow period of
and we're going to have Stefan back next week.
I got to imagine. So, you know what? I'm going to predict we don't have Stefan next week.
Oh.
I'm going to predict that we're done with Stefan for the season.
See, I disagree. And I will say because if Seth Meyers is going to be working on the his late night, you would assume he's not. They're gonna
change That's a good
update
point.
Anchors. He's going to want to have one last show with Stefan at the update desk.
That's a good point.
They have like their Stefan and Seth have this sort of thing.
Yep.
And so you know, here's Stefan with summertime, you know, places to see in the city.
Right. That's a good point. Good point.
I think that we will see a Stefan next week.
You know what? I stand corrected. You bring good logic to it.
Yes. So then it's the return of, wait for it, Garth and Kat.
What do you people like about these characters? I don't understand what you like about this. Oh, it was just time filler. It was so boring to me. We're just watching Kristen Wiig follow along with the extremely self-indulgent, silly lyrics of Fred Armisen. Rob, explain it to me. What is good about this? I'm missing it.
It makes them laugh. That's really
I understand
really
that
what it comes down to, and I don't know.
Yeah. I just want to fast forward.
I would have rather seen Kristen Wiig as Aunt Linda.
I would have seen, yeah, anything other than that. Yeah.
What about Nicholas Fane?
Ooh, yes, I would rather sit through Nicholas Fane.
I feel like Garth and Kat is so long, too.
Yes, it seems endless. You're right. Oh, it was so painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's Garth and Kat for you. They're back. And hopefully this is the end of the Garth and Kat reign of terror.
Oh, God, I hope
so. All right,
so
we come back at an update, and here's the Target lady. I actually thought this was a good outing for the Target lady.
I liked it. I really liked it. I liked it.
This was pretty funny. I feel like we certainly haven't seen Target lady in a while. Did they do Target Lady on the season finale with Kristen Wiig last season?
I don't think so, but I know we had seen... Oh, no, you know what? Maybe they did, actually. I think that I'll take a quick peek here as we talk, because I think... I know we saw her... Or we saw him in the Daniel Radcliffe episode.
Right.
But you know what? No.
Maybe that was the last time.
Yeah, I think that's the last time we saw Target Lady. Yeah, not in the season.
This was
finale.
A pretty good
I liked
run
it.
For Target Lady.
A middle-aged turtle with brown lips and a hair helmet. I thought that was a great description of her. Yeah, I thought I was sitting there going, I think I'm not supposed to like this sketch, and it's really making me laugh. I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, I thought she had a couple of good lines.
Yeah.
Target Lady.
Yeah, I thought she was really funny. So that was good to see. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So very good job for Target Lady. I know not everybody was thrilled to see the return of her. I'm looking at on hitfix.com. We mentioned this a lot. Ryan McGee gives letter grades for all the sketches. He gave Target Lady a D+.
That was surprising to me. A D+. I thought there was definitely worse stuff. I don't get it.
He did give the Californians a D-.
Right.
So I kind of felt like this was a show. It was like a tale of two halves almost this episode, where then in the second half, we ended up seeing some new stuff that was a little different. It was very similar in some ways to the Justin Timberlake episode.
True.
Where the first half was all, okay, greatest hits. And then the B-side of the show was some new sketches. And I thought that the new sketches were more inspired than the retread stuff.
Very much agree. Very much agree. Now, the acupuncture clinic is not a new idea for SNL. I mean, this goes all the way back to Julia Child in 1976 with Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
So we're not doing groundbreaking work here. But
it's a little bit of that. It's a little bit of Lucy and Ethel in the Chocolate Factory.
Yep. Yeah. But I thought it was really good. I just made me everything about it made me laugh.
Yeah.
Just solid performance. No one super over the top, but everything about it was funny.
Good. Sudeikis was good.
Sudeikis was good that he just played it cool. Even I think Kate McKinnon was very funny when she comes in. She tries to put the vase over the blood.
Yeah.
Just everything about
kinda
it.
Kind of gross when Kristen Wiig is giving him the cup with the blood. Just drink this.
Or the balloon of blood that starts showing up towards the end. I like that they went there and just sort of really made it gross. I thought it was really funny.
Fred Armisen leaving was
exactly.
The yelling from the street of like, oh, that's a lot of blood. Hey, what did that mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's gang talk. So that was fun.
That was nice. And then to have A.D. Bryant and Kristen Wiig not change clothes to reintroduce reintroduce Vampire Weekend covered in blood was very, that was a fun little moment. I like that.
Now, if it truly was a Vampire Weekend, would they have still performed the song, or would they have gone and drank the blood that had been left on the stage?
Good. Well, maybe that's what gave them the pep for their second song.
Yeah.
Little blood cocktail going
into
it.
Is that how they were like, okay, what can we do? A musical guest Vampire Weekend? Can we do something with blood?
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. But that would mean with Kanye West, we might get another Californians giving directions. So that would be a bad precedent.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we have, looks like we have some cougars on a date with sixth graders.
Yeah. You know, again, not a great sketch. The sketch itself overall does not deserve a high letter grade, but I really enjoyed watching it. I thought there were so many fun little moments in it. I thought Cecily Strong was just great in this sketch, mm-hmm. and the two guys as sixth graders, just really funny, just a very stupid sketch.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I thought it was kind of a really twisted idea. But I enjoyed it.
Yes. Very. At the end, when Bobby Wynn says, my daddy says I have to pay for the date, and he's just got the coffee can filled with change and crumpled up dollar bills. That was very funny.
Yeah, I like that. I didn't understand why Taron Killam, really get his character.
Yeah, it kind of really muddied up the already weird premise, like that he's on board for this, which I don't know why you needed him at all.
Yeah, he seemed very silly.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand why his character was like that.
Yeah, same here. But again, weird overall construct, but really funny, you know, fun stuff.
All right. And then we have women who are housewives of some. Real Housewives
yes.
wannabes,
yes.
and they're singing songs.
Yes, it was classy elegance, because there was a typo and nobody corrected it. I found this cute, but I know, having been in the room when Real Housewives episodes are on, I couldn't say that I'm watching, but I am in the vicinity of Real Housewives. I understand that this is a parody of a very real thing, mm-hmm. So I'm sure that's funny. I thought this was cute. I thought even though Kristen Wiig was playing an original character, it was the carbon copy of 75 characters that she's played when she was on the show. Mm-hmm. So it was cute. But, you know, again, we're talking 12:54 in the evening. You know, at least it was fun.
I liked Keenan's joke of if you're a gay guy and you want to bring this to a party to make fun of with your friends, this is perfect.
Exactly.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. So it was very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that was the Kristen Wiig show. So, yeah, overall, I felt like maybe I just had the high expectations. That's the kiss of death with these SNLs. When we come into it, we're saying like, oh my God, get ready for this one.
Well, and it's interesting because on a sketch by sketch basis, you and I were in agreement almost across the board, and yet I liked the episode and you did not. So I think you're right. It's about expectations.
I'm tougher to please, Rich.
That's true. I know. I'm trying, Rob. I'm trying.
So, all right. So the season finale is next week. Ben Affleck is the host.
So speaking of lower expectations,
right? But I kind of feel like, so out of these three in a row here, between Galifianakis, Kristen Wiig, and Ben Affleck, by far and away, this is the one I was looking forward to the least.
Yes.
But maybe this is the best show out of the three.
Could be. You never know. This could be a nice little finale.
So just to set the stage, we believe this is to be the last show of Jason Sudeikis.
That would be assumed, yes.
And we're also assuming at this point, with Seth Meyers leaving, this is the last episode of the Seth Meyers head writer era.
Yes, yes.
So that... what does that mean for the episode next week? What should we expect?
And the one step back on that, the interesting question will be, does Seth Meyers stay on SNL through the Christmas break, or does he leave, you know, is this his final episode?
I kind of feel like that's a weird move to stay on as head writer for half a season.
Yes, and Weekend Update. I think the right move is he leaves now. I think that is the right move, that SNL gets a whole season to, you know, or maybe even Seth Meyers stays on as a presence on SNL for the first 4 months while other people take the reign and he's in an advisor capacity. So,
Well, we got through the episode pretty quickly, so let's talk through a little bit of this. So who is going to be the new head writer? Do you think we have a handle on this?
Well, I think Colin Jost is the current co-head writer. I can't believe I might be wrong on that, I can't remember that off the top of my head. But I believe he is currently the co-head writer with Seth Meyers, so I would suspect that he will take over. Don't know a lot about him, but that's my guess.
Okay. So, more importantly, who will take over on Weekend Update?
Well, I'm going to guess not one of the current cast members.
Oh.
I don't think it's going to be. The one thing I would say is I do think we'll see a return to a pairing. I think it's time for a pairing. So, you know, former slash current writer John Mulaney had a very highly anticipated NBC pilot that was just announced this week, was not picked up.
Mm-hmm.
So he's now on the market. I could see, since he is an SNL fave, I could see him getting the Weekend Update desk. But maybe they bring in someone else.
Of the current cast members, who do we think... could anybody do it out of our current cast members?
Could?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think. Well, I think
who
Hader.
Would be good fits?
Hader would be great,
but you can't lose.
You can't lose him from the rotation on all the other sketches,
right?
I mean, Sudeikis, I think, would be fine. I think he could be good, but I don't see what's in it for him. That seems like a really bad call for him.
Well, if he's leaving the show,
What
about Taron Killam?
Again, I think it would be a weird choice for him because, especially if Sudeikis leaves, he's the anchor of the show, of the sketches. So I don't think you take him out of the rotation.
Yeah, you know, for the most part, over the history of the update slot, at least over the last 20-25 years, the person who has done update does not typically appear in the sketches.
Right.
Amy Poehler being one of
the rare,
And Jimmy Fallon, he was always in sketches in addition to being in update, even though Tina Fey. But so it seems like there needs to be one person who's a half of that team who is not in sketches. And then if they have a co-anchor, they could be then in the sketches and also on update.
Right. You know, so I think I think the interesting move would actually be to bring Vanessa Bayer to Weekend Update, because I feel like she's really talented. They can't find kind of the right fit for her.
They can't do the two people who grew up with famous people.
Hold on, I'm giving myself a hug.
What about Fred Armisen hosts Weekend Update?
You know what? I don't think Fred Armisen hosting is a bad idea. He could be an okay anchor. I just don't know what the material would be. That would be a little concerned of his editorial voice being involved in Weekend Update.
Well, it seems like, going back to Tina Fey, it seems like that the head writer has been the Weekend Update host. It was through Tina Fey's era and then through Seth Meyers' era.
Right.
So do we think that potentially the new head writer could also anchor Update?
I would guess not, only because being a new head writer would be such a responsibility that I think it's once someone has been the head writer for a bit where they kind of got down and then they can focus. So it's a good question, though.
So we'll see. Lots of intrigue heading into the summer on SNL and Weekend Update.
Yes.
All right. So now, if we believe that it's Sudeikis' last show, is there anybody else that we think could potentially be leaving after next week's episode?
Well, I could see them not bringing certain people back. So it'll be interesting to see
who's on the bubble?
You know, well, Jay Farrow is always on the bubble. Now, I think he's probably going to be in a better place because he's now doing Obama.
Yeah, we can't get rid of Jay Farrow. I mean, please, how does Keenan stay and we're going to get rid of Jay Farrow?
That's it's a good point. I'm not sure.
Jay Farrow has to be off the bubble unless people just hate him and he's an a-hole to work with. He can't be on the bubble.
I hope you're right. I'd like to see him stick around. Other than that, who else? I mean, I think probably everyone else comes back. I mean, A.D. Bryant could get cut. It wouldn't totally surprise me. Tim Robinson could get cut if they felt like they needed the space.
He hasn't had much to do in the year.
He's been solid when they use him, but he hasn't really made a big... I suspect he'll come back, though.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a lot of returning faces.
Okay. So, and we think Armisen is back. We think Hader's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. Yeah.
Okay. So the cast is... a lot of senior men, like the male cast members have all been there a while.
Yes.
The female cast members are all the new blood, it seems like, for the most part.
Yep.
Vanessa Bayer on the bubble?
I think so. I mean, I think they'll likely bring her back, but I'm concerned about her.
Okay. So we'll see what changes, if any, are announced going into this week. So if Sudeikis leaves, if the next week, in addition to Ben Affleck, is the final Sudeikis show,
right?
What are, let's go like last week. Well, who are the Sudeikis characters and who do you think we're going to see?
Well, that's that weird thing of who are the Sudeikis characters. I mean, I think maybe we see the devil at Weekend Update.
Okay. Well, he's going to be good on the power rankings.
Yeah. I mean, I think
Joe Biden.
Oh, that's a good point. I don't know how you bring back Joe Biden, but, you know, I don't know under what pretense.
They don't need any reason to bring in
Biden. I think that does make sense, yeah.
All right.
I think we could see a final installment of Main Justice. for no good reason. I think that could come back.
Oh, that's a good call. Main Justice.
And I could see the 1255 sketch being Bongo's Clown Room. I think we could get one more time as Sudeikis as the MC of the lame strip club.
Yeah, let's see. Let me just do a quick Google search to see if we're forgetting anybody. Jason Sudeikis, characters, SNL. Let's see if on the SNL wiki, snl.wikia.com. So let's see if there's anybody. Some of his characters are the, okay, the, how about the people that do the big sort of like, it's the summer 4th of Memorial Day crazy party.
Oh, the underground. yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, that would be interesting. Although that sort of went away, but I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah.
I would love to see, I mean, as stupid as it is, if again, I'm rooting for a Will Forte return to do one of the old ESPN classic sports guys.
I thought you didn't like those.
You know what? I wouldn't say that I like it, but I think I would like to see it one more time.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll see if it's a send-off for Sudeikis next week. And you don't think that they'll do anything near like what they did with Kristen Wiig?
No,
for
I
Sudeikis.
Don't think so. I don't. I mean, the way that they've been handling Sudeikis the last few episodes does not seem like they're making a big move. And it's also very likely that we will end next week's episode not knowing whether Sudeikis comes back or not. You know, it's where we did know Kristen Wiig was leaving by the end of the episode, and you know, people like Will Ferrell had announced it. I think, like Sandberg, I think we go into this finale. We end this finale not knowing what the story is with him.
Okay,
we'll see.
And then, all right, so that's next week's episode with Ben Affleck. How about the future of Late Show with Seth Meyers? Do you think Seth Meyers was a good call?
I like it. I think it's a good call. I think he'll have really good. I mean, we see that he's really good with people on Weekend Update. You know, he, you know, can get through a short monologue fairly effectively. I think keeping it in the SNL family is smart. So I think it's an interesting call.
Is he different enough than Jimmy Fallon?
I think so, because he's not a musician. He's not an impressionist. So I think even though he's not really a stand-up comic by trade, he's going to feel more like a – I bet he comes off more like a young Letterman than a Fallon.
See, I feel like the things that are appealing about Jimmy Fallon, about how he really integrates music and does like a lot of like viral sketches and is very good on social media and being – interactive and engaging. I'm not sure if Seth Meyers has those same qualities.
Well, I think you're right, but I also think it's an interesting problem of, you know, those are things that have helped make Fallon successful, but those are also things that make Fallon the new host of The Tonight Show, and you don't want a carbon copy of him. Mm-hmm. So now it's interesting, having had Conan and now Fallon, what do you do with Late Night that's a little bit different? So this could be an interesting return to just kind of straight out host.
I just feel like Jimmy Fallon's demographics, like his audience, I feel like skews younger, ironically, than people who would potentially watch the later show.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that'll be interesting how he changes his show to make it interesting for a broader demographic at 11:30.
Okay. So we'll see what happens. All right. Anything else SNL related as we look forward to the season finale?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the only other thing I would say is a tough TV season for SNL alumni, as we're seeing a lot of comedies get canceled. So, you know, David Spade is out of work and Casey Wilson is out of work and Chevy Chase is out of work. And so interesting times. Other than
Chevy Chase,
he removed himself from
a show that got picked up for next season.
Yeah, exactly. But Amy Poehler may be the only SNL alumni on network sitcoms next year. Yeah.
And the short-lived series Rob did not get called back.
That's true. That's gone. Up All Night with Maya Rudolph. Not surprisingly, they gave up on the idea to retool it as a multi-camera comedy, and they just canceled it.
What about the idea? Have you heard this, that Dan Harmon could come back to Community in season 5?
I did not hear that. It wouldn't surprise me, though. Yeah. That makes a lot of logical sense.
It strikes me as really, really brilliant just the fact that if they only have 16 episodes left on that show, why right. not put up with Dan Harmon for a little bit? I mean, I think the value of that show in syndication would, you know, rise incredibly. Yeah. To have a, instead of a show that just sort of petered out when they changed the showrunners, if you bring him back. Because I have not been watching Community this season.
I have stuck with it, but it has been tough.
Yeah, not
it has gotten a little bit better towards the end. I haven't seen the season finale yet. I may be doing that directly after this recording, but it has been a tough season. So I hate to say it, the announcement that it was picked up, I was not excited. I almost kind of wanted to just wrap it up and maybe just forget that this last season ever happened.
Yeah. All right, so let's stop this here. Let's wrap this up. And a lot to do here on a very busy Sunday here on Rob is a Podcast. Live coverage of the Survivor Karamoan finale starts tonight at 11:15 p.m. Eastern with a live Survivor Know-It-Alls and to talk to the winner from Survivor Karamoan tomorrow morning. All right, so enjoy the show, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. And let us know what you think in the comments.
Love it.
All right, take care, everybody. Bye.